The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Oh, come, little children. Oh, come, one and all. There's one. Good. Does anybody know of something that's big? What do you know that's big? What? What? You're big. He's getting big, isn't he? Yeah. Oh, how about your daddy? Is he big? Yeah. And what about the trucks we see on the road? Some of them are really big, aren't they? Yeah. And how about that tree outside? Is it big? Yeah, it's really big. And what about our church? Our church is big, isn't it? Yeah, it's big. Okay. Well, some of the verses that Pastor Tim read in our gospel today said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall have life eternal." How could we measure that? I brought some things this morning to measure with. If I'm going to bake some cookies, I have to have some measuring cups and some measuring spoons so I get just the right stuff in my cookies so they'll be good. Well, if I'm going to build something out of wood like this lectern, I can't measure the boards with measuring cups. I have to have a tape measure to see how big to cut the boards so I can build something. There's something else that we measure. What does this measure?
It's a clock.
It's a clock, that's right, and it measures time. And last night, we had to turn our clock forward so we'd be here on time at church. So That's something that measures time too, measures how big things are. I wonder how we could measure God's love for us, because Pastor read that God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. He didn't have a bunch of sons. He had just one, and that was Jesus. And he sent him to the world to save us from our sins. What if you had a lollipop? You just had one lollipop. And would you like to give it away? Then you wouldn't have any. But if you had a whole bunch of lollipops, that would be easier to give some away, wouldn't it? Yeah. But the Bible says God had only one son, and that was Jesus. And he loved us so much. When we do bad things, he even forgives us, and he loved us that much that he sent his only son that he had to save us from our sins. So, if I just had one lollipop and I gave it to you, then I wouldn't have any and all of you wouldn't have any. But if I had a whole bunch, then it would be easier to give them away, wouldn't it? Because then you would have some. Okay, I'm going to give you a lollipop, but there's two rules you have. You can't eat it in church, and you have to ask mommy or daddy when you can have it, okay? So, did I tell you about the time? I can't even remember. Remember the rules. You have to ask mommy or daddy when you can have it. And we can't eat it in church. There's one for you. And even one for you. So, okay. Let's have a little prayer. You fold your hands. Okay. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only son, Jesus, to save us from our sins so we can go to heaven someday and be with you forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Now you can go back to your mom and dad.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me introduce myself. My name is Nicodemus. I am a Jew, and I'm also a scholar, and I enjoy teaching. I enjoy having brilliant students listen and to learn and to see them grasp the ideas of what I have to teach them. Because of my intellect, though, I was invited to be a part of the leading council, the Supreme Jewish Council. Myself and 69 others help run this country. We take care of the things from day to day. We make sure that the laws are taken care of and enforcement's taken care of. We can do everything that we want to do with the limits of what the Roman authorities allow us to do. But for the most part, we do run the country. We have lots of power. We have lots of clout here. As I said, I do enjoy being a scholar. I also enjoy having deep discussions with other scholars and debates and even arguments. My mind needs to be stimulated all the time. I need to be thinking and thinking in sharp ways. But lately I've been having a hard time doing that because I've already talked to all the scholars that I know. I've had the debates and their arguments are getting predictable. There's nothing new anymore. But then I heard about an itinerant preacher wandering around the countryside, and those ideas that he had, those thoughts that he had, has started to trickle down. And I've caught wind of some of those, and some of them, I have to admit, sound pretty intriguing. Also, there's rumors about him that he's doing wonders and signs and miracles. Many people are starting to follow him. They're even calling him the Son of Man, or the Son of God, or the Chosen One, or even the Messiah. that the prophets have spoken about over the years. He goes by the name of Jesus. Sounds pretty intriguing to me. But for other members on that Supreme Council, they're not so intrigued. As a matter of fact, they're starting to grumble about this man, Jesus. They're saying, where's his credentials to teach or to preach? He has no credentials. He has no diploma. He hasn't studied under any famous rabbis. And I would know because I know all the famous rabbis. He has no credentials. And so they're starting to grumble about him. I think they're also a bit jealous of him because he is collecting lots of people around him. People are starting to follow him and to listen to him. And when they're listening to Jesus, then these other council members think, well, they're not listening to me anymore, and they feel their power eroding. They're also worried about their power, that somehow Jesus is going to disrupt the cozy relationship that we have with the Romans in order to rule our country. But for me, I think it's pretty intriguing, and I want to meet the man. So one night, I found out where he was staying. And secretly, and I had to be secret, because if my colleagues in the council would hear that I was talking to Jesus or would see me talking to Jesus, they would think that I'm trying to be one of his followers, and they would brand me as a heretic, and I would be kicked off the council. I would have to leave in disgrace. So one night, under cover of darkness, I found Jesus. And as I approached him, I knew that I needed to make him feel comfortable so that he wasn't intimidated by my power or prestige or my intellect. And so I said to him, good teacher, we know that you are from God because no one can do the things that you do without the presence of God. Boy, my eyes were open when he answered me. I was shocked to a certain extent because Jesus didn't need any buttering up. He didn't need to have the message softened to him. He spoke with words of authority, words of confidence, and words of humility in a way that rang true. He said to me, no one can see the kingdom of heaven without being born from above. Born from above? What's that supposed to mean? What's this born from above or being born anew or being born again? Can someone be crammed back into their mother and come out again? And Jesus looked at me and he said, you Pharisees, you've studied the scriptures, but you've been brainwashed. All you can see in scriptures is the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. You've condensed all of scripture down into just the laws and the do's and the don'ts that need to take place. You have missed the whole point of scripture. You've missed the whole spirit of scripture. You've missed the Spirit of God. You can be born anew or be born from above by water and the Spirit. The Spirit moves where it wishes. The Spirit is of God. It's like the wind. It can move this way or it can move that way. No one knows where it comes from. But yet, people who are filled with the Spirit are moved into the presence of God. They are moved into action. Why they do these things, only God knows. And that got me to thinking. I'll tell you what, Jesus did fill me with some new ideas. That really got me thinking, could I have been wrong all these years that I can judge a person and know if whether they're a good person or a bad person by how well they have followed all these laws that have been strictly laid out? Have I been wrong in thinking that it is only the rich people who are blessed by God and not others? Have I been wrong to think that those who are healthy and strong are the ones who are blessed and those who have ailments are being punished by God for the sins that they have done? It made me start to think about my whole being, of who I am and what I believe. And so I asked Jesus, how can this be? And I have to admit, I felt a little chastised by his answer. And he says, what? You've been studying the scriptures all your life. And here it's all right before you. You've missed that spirit. You've missed that spirit of God. And you've missed what God has been teaching all along. And here I am in front of you. And you hear what I'm saying to you. And you don't listen. Also, you've seen the signs, you've seen the wonders, you've seen the healings that have been going on, and yet you don't even see it. If I tell you about the things that you can see, about the things that you can hear, about the things here on this earth, and you still don't believe, how are you going to believe when I tell you about the things of God? When I tell you about God's forgiveness, when I tell you about His love, about His grace, and about His mercy? How are you going to believe? Now, you know the story of when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness, of how they turned away from God. They rejected God. And so God sent snakes, poisonous snakes. And as they bit the people got deathly sick and started to die. Moses called out to God. The people cried out to God for help. And God heard their pleas. And so Moses erected a serpent of bronze on a pole and stood it up where everybody could see. And as people looked at that, after the snakes bit them, they were made well and did not die. As that serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man also be lifted up. That evening, as I talked to Jesus, Jesus filled me with a lifetime of new thoughts and new ideas. I have to admit, I did not understand everything that he was saying on that particular night. But as things progressed and as I heard more from Jesus, and also as the events unfolded, I started to understand. Like I mentioned earlier, many on the council were not very happy with Jesus. And as time went on, it even got worse. And finally, some of the most notorious council members, some of the angriest council members then, had Jesus arrested late at night in a sneaky way where nobody else could see. They had him arrested. They had him beaten. And they put him on trial with trumped up charges. The council members knew that Jesus was innocent. Jesus knew he was innocent. I knew he was innocent, but yet they still tried him and they convicted him of blasphemy. And they also then finagled it in a way that got Pilate to condemn him to death. And so Jesus was raised up like that serpent, only not on a pole, but rather on a cross. And he was hung there to die. I realized this Jesus was the Son of Man. I realized he was the Son of God. I realized he was the Messiah, the chosen one whom prophets had spoken about. And I too became a Christian, a follower of the way, a follower of Jesus. After Jesus died, another council member, Joseph of Arimathea, asked for the body of Jesus. And I helped as well, along with some of Jesus' other followers. I threw in some of my gold to buy some of the spices and the ointments that needed in the burial process, like myrrh and frankincense. And we married Jesus. I realized that this Jesus had come into the world, that he was God's Son, that he came into this world not with a new theology, not with a new philosophy, not with a new ideology, not with new rules, not with new regulations. He didn't come to condemn the world, but Jesus came to save the world. He came to save you. He came to save me. As for me, I did remain a Christian, and I was, by the guidance of God or by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I was able to remain on that Jewish council where I could do the most good. That hopefully that spirit was blowing and moving in and through me so that I could help other people. I pray too that Holy Spirit moves through you as you have been baptized, as you have have been born in that water, blessed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that God too may move through you so that you too can serve God always. Amen.